D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. A reminder, Silly Underdog Picks is coming up next. If you want to represent the people, be listening for the cue to call at 615-737-1025. If you represent the people and you win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, October 1st. Willie Donick informs me that our representative won last week, picking Eddie Casey. George's Bowling Green.
The Falcons, 2-1.
So?
As the home dog, knocked off Liberty.
That could be you.
Eddie George.
Liberty.
2-7. Moving up to the MAC.
A little MACtion. Who doesn't love a little MACtion? You know who also loves some MACtion? Jonathan Hutton.
Let's go.
I think he does. From Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Do you love some MACtion, Hutton?
Right place and time.
Exactly.
If you have some action on MACtion, absolutely.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Why
so
not?
Since we're talking college football, let's stay on college football. I have two questions for you. One about Tennessee and one about Vanderbilt. The question go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Question, which one?
Let's start with Tennessee.
They're a college football playoff team.
Well, I was just about to ask you where Tennessee's CFP hopes were following the loss to Georgia. You can go ahead and answer that question now.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fascinating if, they're a three-loss team and you have a two-loss team ahead of them with the new way that they are analyzing and inputting strength of schedule without the tweaks they've made to that. I think it benefits Tennessee with what they've done. The way they played that game against Georgia – and the improvement that we've seen just with the quarterback, downfield passing game, all of it, the game was fantastic, nearly identical to the Alabama game from 2022. And, I mean, even from the early start by Tennessee, all the big plays, great play by the other quarterback. The only difference was Tennessee won the game against Bama. And Georgia looks like the national championship contender. Tennessee is a college football playoff team right now. And, hats off to what they've done. They did everything but win that game. And I like what I've seen, given the fact that they were down their two corners. They're going to continue to be tested there in the secondary. But the offense has shown they can push the ball and score a lot of points. So, I mean, that's finally saw some big plays with the return game. I mean, there's a lot of positives, despite the fact that Georgia continues to win because they're Georgia. And they're still right there. I was wrong about them slipping. It's incredible what they've done. And when you also include, Adam, the game last year against Bama and what Kirby Smart is able to do despite adversity, just the fantastic game top to bottom. Vanderbilt can be a college football playoff contender. There is no reason why they can't be Alabama or South Carolina from last year. From what I've seen, and the gauntlet that they have coming up, there's a big schedule ahead of them. But get to Bama 5-0 and win that game. They're the media darling of the country, and Pavi is being discussed as a Heisman candidate. So they can be a much bigger discussion than where they are now. And I get it. Hey, they beat South Carolina. They did it with Sellers getting hurt. But I'm here to tell you, they're better than their ranking right now. And they went on the road and won against number 11 in the SEC. And Vanderbilt is ranked in the top 25 in September. Not November, it's September. So, I mean, don't tell them they can't do something because they'll show up and get it done.
Michael, you answered my question. My question to you was going to be, what will it take for Vanderbilt to be considered this season's version of Indiana?
Yeah, well, they won't be considered this year's version of Indiana. No one's going to debate their schedule if they're on the precipice of knocking on the door of the playoffs.
True.
No one's going to. So no one can use that against them. That was the argument against Indiana, is who they've played. Vanderbilt's producing against a gauntlet of a Southeastern Conference schedule. So they would have proven that they deserve to be there. That's why South Carolina they had all that momentum leading up to the push for the playoff against the argument for or making the argument against a team like Indiana. Bama the same way, thinking about a team like SMU. So, Vanderbilt would be there. And it's crazy to say that, but, I mean, it's more than Pavia, but, man, have they taken on the mentality of both he and Clark Lea. It's a tremendous job. And I realize it's early in the season, but it's early in the season and Vanderbilt's being discussed like this. That's some good college football being played in Tennessee.
Now, with that being said, Hutt, we had a sort of a funny, what would you call it, hypothetical. If Vanderbilt and Tennessee played right now, if they played this weekend, what would be the line in the game?
Where's the game being played?
It's played in Knoxville.
Tennessee's favored by 4 or 5.
I thought it would Georgia. Be double digits. I thought it would be 10 and a half.
So the perception is that Tennessee went toe-to-toe with Georgia. Mm-hmm. They were, 3.5-point dog to Georgia in that game. Vanderbilt, the perception is they went on the road and Sellers got hurt, so they won. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's Vanderbilt is they don't jump off the page to you if you just look at a stat sheet. They just do everything consistently well, and for the first time, guys, they compete in the trenches on defense. They've got guys, they got players up front that can play some SEC ball. So, I sound like a front runner here for them, and I'm all in on Van. How can you not be, given what we saw last year, and the momentum has carried over to this year, where they're not just winning. I mean, they are taking care of business, and with an exclamation mark. Mm-hmm. I think it's a much tighter game. Tennessee fans didn't want to play Vandy when they did last year. I wouldn't want to play them. If that's the case, I wouldn't want to play them this year, despite taking care of business here in Nashville for the Vols.
Now let's transition to the Titans, obviously, coming off of not impressive
speaking of, that's
loss.
Where the good football in Tennessee has stopped. Now we're headed to the opposite end.
Exactly. Now, looking at this team, how much can Cam Ward actually help them this year, or is it just about developing him? Because if you look at this roster from top to bottom, we all know it's not the greatest roster. But can he be enough to help this team, or is this just a, hey, this is a development year for you to get you better as a quarterback as we add, talent to the roster?
I mean, at this stage, I mean, he helps this team by developing into the quarterback that's ready to go in year two. Mm-hmm. Under what regime, I have no idea, coaching staff. But he also helps this team by lifting the play of the rookies around him, and we see other players develop with him. It's more than him in how Borgonzi has structured this group. It's very similar to what the Chiefs did whenever they drafted Mahomes and brought him in. I know they set out the first year, but they end up pairing him with a tight end. They got a wide receiver here. They bulk up on some defense. I mean, this is it's not hard to flip around a team, Mace, in a rebuild, but this is a multi-year deal here because of the depth and the issues and not hitting on draft picks. So, this is another off-season acquisition phase away from actually seeing what can be. Mm-hmm. But he's got to, how does he help this team? He develops players around him. He leads. He already is the leader, but the unquestioned leader that is consistent in what he says, what he does, and how he approaches week in and week out. And he also helps this team by not allowing others to quit around him. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long year based on what we've seen, man. And he's going to take a beating. So the trials and tribulations are ahead. They're just getting started.
Now, Blake Bedingfield came out with an article on PaulKarski.com setting up the table already for potential moves that the Titans can make. When should, even though the table is being set by Blake Bedingfield, I'm not saying the Titans are doing that, but obviously he is, and I'm sure there are a lot of Titan fans that are already thinking about, hey, we need to. This is the people we need to trade. We need to start getting some more assets for this year's draft and potentially next year's draft. When should they start thinking about that?
Well, right around the trade deadline. And you would just wait on the offers and see what teams are willing to offer to bring a player in. I mean, I don't recall defensive tackles being moved all that often at the trade deadline. But yeah, I mean, it's either that or you do it like leading up to the NFL draft for draft capital. You don't do it after the draft. But Mace, they don't have many pieces to do that with. And they just gave Simmons a bump, didn't they, in pay?
Yeah, to my understanding, it was money already owed, but they just kind of moved it around a little bit, to my understanding.
Cash on hand. They gave him some cash up, mm-hmm. cash up front or something. I just saw that headline. I didn't read that in depth, so I apologize. But that doesn't signal to me a move that says you're going to move him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's the first that comes to mind and one of the very few, and they just extended Hooker. He was another trade asset of value in the draft. So, I mean, there's not too many left unless you're going to start trading some of your young pieces that you drafted and invested in, and I don't see that happening.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So, Hut, we talked last week about L'Jarius Sneed. I think there was some disappointment that they didn't let him go into the second half, but
yeah.
I was surprised that it went full throttle the other way on a really hot day, and now he's got a back ailment. I'm concerned about that. I still would like to know a little bit more of what the process has been, because in other sports in particular, they're so careful about these things. And so it's like they abandoned the plan. They went from, hey, let's be careful.
I know.
Let's ratchet up step by step to let's throw him in there and let's have him chase Davante Adams all over the field for the whole game in 90-degree weather on turf. That was a major risk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the back issue is from the 90-degree weather. I know what you're saying, though, on the risk. Let's go back to the plan where it started. What plan has him play the first half and not the second? Like, you know, it's just like, oh, he played some long drives. And I was like, well, I mean.
It's definitely outside the box thinking.
I don't understand that, especially in the type of game that, I mean, even in the preseason, if you're playing some of your players, like you want to go two possessions. Well, if the first possession is a 13-play drive, the dude's not going to play the second. And if it's two straight three and outs, maybe they play a third. You know, there's some flexibility there. And then to go the opposite end, I mean, it just sounds like they, on one game, again, this is just perception. One game they went with their plan. Game two, they went with his. Like, that's what it looks like. I don't know why you would go the other way. Or it's flip-flopped. But it certainly didn't feel like that based on what he said post-game. But Willie, I mean, they're a much better team with him on the field, but I mean, if he's going to play, he's going to get hurt. I mean, that's just kind of, I expect that to happen.
I think we're all very concerned.
Even if he's healthy.
We'll believe it when we see it that he can last. But in the meantime, I equate it to when you see a pitcher, if you're really going to use the term pitch count, when you watch a pitcher coming back from an injury, especially one that's been out for a long time, they're going to go, you know, three innings, and then they're going to go five innings, et cetera, right? And so they went from three innings to let's play the whole game, and that's just not what you would do. And I know you can't do this on the minor league level, but if you're going to be outside the box and you're going to be modern with sports science, they seem to completely take a different approach in the second game. I don't know if that's the agent. I don't know if that's Sneed lobbying, et cetera, but it's been thrown out by more than one person from the top, from the Titans, the coaches anyway, of sometimes you have to protect the player from himself. If he gets hurt and blows himself out in week three or four, where are you?
And, I mean, they're already screwed, let's put it that way. And now, I mean, maybe they just went into it knowing we have to have him to match up. We need a one-on-one with Davante Adams because we still have to worry about Puka Nacua. Because offensively, those are the two targets for Stafford, and that was it. I mean, by far, those were the two main targets, and they want to man him up. Again, I don't know. I don't understand the plan where he played half the game. So it's hard for me to understand what was going on full throttle where, I mean, if you're on a pitch count 1 week and all of a sudden miraculously get better, sounds like he felt good because he only played half the game. But, I mean, guys are going to get injured and get hurt, but I just assume he's always hurt. And if you're out there, you're out there. Like, there's no – if you're out there on the island for his position, man, like, I don't want to play half the game. I got to get into a rhythm and a flow, because especially at that spot where there's going to be a ton of up and downs. I'm sure he wanted to play the full game. And I mean, we'll see if he can push through this. But yeah, it's not a good sign. And it's not a good sign with or without him, given some of the possessions that we've seen, the long drives and the second halves where the offense isn't helping.
Latham is still not practicing.
Yeah.
If he's not out there again on Sunday, which I think it looks like there's a pretty decent chance that that's the case, and they have to try to make it work with the scraps that they have, how much better can it look, given that it's not the Rams or the Broncos front? And the Colts are no slouch, no question. They're playing great confident-wise, but can they maybe do a little bit better job of protecting Ward?
Well, they should. I mean, you're right about comparing the other two pass rushes, because the Colts have just 3 sacks this season. You know, can the Titans actually protect Ward? And can he get the ball out quickly? You know, they also need chunk yardage from Tony Pollard. You know, that he ran well last week, but Pollard, I mean, he now has 38 carries this season. Willie is the 4th most in the NFL for running backs. But chunk yardage is needed from him. And right now, only 2 of his carries have gained more than 10 yards, 10 or more yards. That's a total of 2 carries of his total. And 26 players in the NFL have more carries that have produced more yardage than what he has. But he has the 4th most touches. Like, he's got to be more of a focus, too, for Ward to have some options. But ultimately, it's the 3rd and 9 plus. You know, like, teams are going to tee off on him, no matter if they're starting J.C. Latham or not, if this offense can't do more than 2 yards per play on 1st and 2nd down. And can't even have a big play in the second half. I mean, they didn't have a single play of 20 or more yards passing or 10 or more yards rushing in the second half this past week. I mean, they can't do anything. So the pass rush is just going to pin their ears back at that point, knowing you have to pass if you're trailing. They play good in the first half, and then it all hits the fan. It's not good for Cam Ward is the answer if Latham can't play, but it wasn't good if he was in there.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and looking forward to silly underdog picks.
What a Who's great
leading the competition? Who is leading this competition?
Hal Gill. Rookie. Hal Gill is 1-2 with 17.5 points. Okay. Derek Mason is in second place at 1-2 with 15.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
I am 2-1, but in third place with 10.5 points. Okay. And Chris Sanders is 0-3 with 0 points.
And Willie is 3-0.
No, he's the commish.
Willie's
commish.
Always the winner.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
He's always
He always
winner.
Wins.
Yeah, he's always
House
winner.
Always wins.
That's right. That's
I heard that somewhere.
That's why I don't go to casinos.
That's the trick. I learned that the hard way.
Thank you, Hutton.
All right, see you guys.
Yep.
What a great segue. Week 4 of Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket is coming up next. We will make our selections on the other side. We will also let you know when you can call and represent the people. And as I said, if you represent the people and win, which did happen last week, you will win a pair of tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, October 1st. Silly Underdog Picks is next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. It is indeed time for Silly Underdog Picks, Week 4, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Without any further ado, I turn it over to the commissioner.
Oh, Willie D. Ooh, Willie. Oh, Willie D.
Ladies and gentlemen, Willie boys D. and girls, welcome to Silly Underdog Picks 2025. Brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It has been a fantastic start to the season. 3 weeks in. Just about everybody has scored.
Just about everybody.
Just about everybody. And we're going to have some fun this week with another great weekend. College football is off to a great start. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, we welcome our contestants live from somewhere in Nashville, I think. Maybe downtown Nashville, not Maine, the state of Maine. Would be Hal Gill on the line with us. Rookie, what's going on?
Well, I'm just hanging out with my my committee, part of my committee, Lindsey Rowley and Chris Mason are offering a lot of, hey, it's exciting. The Preds are back. We had gladiator shots. We got to look pretty. We got all dressed up. You know, Willie, you were looking good.
Thanks, man.
You know, I'm all excited for this year. So now we're just hanging out, getting ready for dinner, and I'm excited about this. I'm in the game. So
you're
I'm
in the game.
You're leading. You're
the
winning.
Leader
you're
in the leader. Clubhouse.
Am I leading? Right, I didn't want to say that, but
you are. You're leading. Flaunt.
I don't want to get cocky.
So having the committee together live, I think for the first time in the season, how was that today? The brainstorming on today's pick. Are we going to see a big difference?
I got to tell you, Chris Mason, not a lot of thoughts. Lindsey Rowley. A lot of thoughts. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of raw stats that I need to digest that I'm not aware of. She's on another level, but a lot of valuable input.
C-Mace, on the other hand, I'm not sure he's aware that there are four downs in...
Yeah, he thinks there's 12 players and three downs.
The Canadian style of game.
But does he know what a rouge is?
A rouge?
Yes. That's in the CFL, right?
As in Baton Rouge?
No, a rouge is a one-point score.
Moulin Rouge.
In the CFL.
Punch it out of the end zone or something.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the movie Clerks, your cunning attempt to trick me. Rouge.
I do love Clerks.
It's a good movie.
But that's not what I was trying to do.
Okay, well, Skillsy, hang tight as we introduce the rest of the panel. Do we have...
No.
We
don't even ask.
Yeah.
Oh my
we
goodness.
Don't.
The defending champion, Chris Sanders, still not able to join us on time.
And I'm just going to make this clear. Chris Sanders has the first pick today.
Yes,
if he is not on the line by the time David hits some Lionel Richie, David will be making the pick for Chris Sanders.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. That's the rule.
That's my rule. That's my motion to the commissioner.
Okay, so let's buy Chris a little time and review the picks from week three.
Oh, whoa, you didn't.
I've already introduced both of you.
You didn't introduce me. You didn't even say anything about me winning.
We're
like having a big week last week.
We're going to talk about you, D-Mace, because you were the story of week three.
Oh my goodness!
All right, let's review the picks from week three. We started off with Adam Vingan, fresh off his first win of the season in dramatic fashion in week two with Mississippi State and their big come from behind win. He stayed in the SEC and went with the Vanderbilt Commodores, a 4-point dog on the road at number 11 South Carolina. We know what the story was. Each team scored on their opening possession, and then Vanderbilt absolutely whitewashed the Gamecocks. 31-7 was the final. They won going away, so much so that we were talking about Theo Von and potential dates with Diego Pavia's mom and Tate McRae during the broadcast. When has Vanderbilt ever won a road game where they were talking blowout material in that situation? It doesn't happen. So this is a new chapter. But Adam, congrats on your second win.
I had the utmost confidence in Clark Lee and the Commodores. I know it was only a 4-point spread, but I do have 2 wins in 3 weeks, so I'm only in third place. But I have some good mojo here. I'm picking winners, so
yes.
I think that will serve me well.
Chris Sanders, the defending champion, trying to juggle life as a assistant coach for the NBA Big Red and the afternoon show trying to defend the title. He is struggling with this right now. He still went for the big one. He went Purdue, a 20.5-point dog against Southern Cal, hoping that the Trojans move across to the Midwest would hurt them. It didn't. Trojans 33, Boilermakers 17. Weather delays in there. It was a weird game.
Mm-hmm.
So Sanders drops to 0-3. He might need to consult some more with his crew.
And I just want to make one thing clear once again.
Boy, you are really protesting.
Yeah, you own him.
You are really on
Chris Sanders. I just want to make one thing clear. We moved the competition to this specific time to accommodate Chris Sanders. That is why this game is being played on Wednesdays at 5:20 to buy Chris Sanders time. And yet he fails to show up. That's why I have zero sympathy for the fact that he's 0-3 and the fact that David James may be making his pick in a matter of moments.
Listen to the anger, D.
Yeah, I'm
the
not worried about it. Just, I mean, you know.
I'm
a cool shocking. Bear in the pool over here. If Chris don't want to show, he just don't show.
Hey, I know football. I can make good picks.
I trust David.
I trust David too.
So why is D-Mace laughing and easygoing about this?
You know.
It's because of his pick last week. Mm-hmm. He selected the Lobos of New Mexico, hardly a juggernaut on the college football scene. They were a 15.5-point dog in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. Does UCLA have some problems?
Bruins.
Oh, yes. 35-10 Lobos. By the end of the game, there was virtually nobody. You know how big the Rose Bowl is.
Oh, there was nobody at the game.
There was nobody.
It was just
there.
A bowl. It wasn't no roses.
It was
the
bowl. Not even petals. Exactly. Not even thorns. There's nothing in there. Nico and the Bruins dropped to 0-3. Coach Deshaun Foster fired after the game. But D-Mace moves up into second place with 15.5 big ones.
See, this is what happens when you scout. The week before, like a week or two before, I scouted New Mexico. And they were, you know why I scouted them? Because they were playing my arch rival, Michigan. And I wanted them to beat Michigan. That was first game of the season, I believe.
Yep.
They played them tough, really tough. I looked at that game and said, you know what? The way UCLA is playing, the way they are being coached, they're not going to win this game. It's going to be a blowout. Hmm. What happened? Yeah, end up being
if I could give you bonus points, I would.
Yeah.
35-10.
Exactly. It's
a
blowout.
It's a 15-point dog.
It's a blowout.
Hal Gill had the fourth pick, trying to build off of his biggest win of the season the previous week against the Florida Gators. They were the victim of Hal's USF Bulls, 17.5 points. This time, Hal tried to pick the Gators to rebound and go to LSU and win. The Gators were a 7.5-point dog down in the Bayou. It was a tight game. But LSU, a little too much defense, 5 interceptions, a little bit of a surprise for Florida's young quarterback, who I think is really good, but he didn't play well in that game. And so LSU, ranked number 3 in the country now, holds on for a 20-10 win. So the standings after 3 weeks, Hal was 17.5, D-Mace 15.5, Adam 10.5, Chris Sanders
goose egg.
Has yet to score. He has yet to score.
Zero.
Shout out to the people, though. Casey had Bowling Green, a 6.5-point dog with Eddie George at the helm against Liberty, and they won 23-13. So congrats to the people.
Okay. One more thing.
We have another.
Yes.
The bitterness.
Yes.
Adam, you've won your last two picks.
I
don't
know.
Worry about it.
Look.
He's not here. Just play the music let's do the picks.
Let me just ask. I want to ask the commissioner. Should we let David James stand in for Chris Sanders, who has yet to call us, or should we move Chris Sanders to the back of the line because he's not here for the first pick?
No. Because he told me he's going to call back in 4 minutes.
That was about 10 minutes ago.
Exactly. So,
y'all want to put him at the end of the line, or y'all want David to pick?
I believe that the commissioner will rule that David will make the pick for Chris.
Okay. Well, David,
hit the music.
If Chris doesn't call by the end of this Lionel Richie special,
hit it. Hey, Chris.
Oh, Chris is calling.
Are you on the line?
He just had to wait for his cue. That's all.
Where are you, Chris?
Chris.
We wonder where you are, too.
Chris, you are so
Chris, what are you doing?
Damn lucky.
Hey, I was working on my gout. I got gout on the foot.
Who are you, Joe Rexroad?
Maybe not.
Chris Sanders, just in time.
In the nick of time.
Impeccable timing.
All right, Chris.
Impeccable timing, Chris.
Make your pick.
Chris, you're up.
Yes, I am going with Washington over Washington. I mean, Washington State over Washington.
Washington over Washington.
Yeah, Washington. I know. They both the same team.
What is the line, Chris?
20.5.
Wow.
20.5.
Wow.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Oh, he's guaranteed. Do you get minus 40 if they don't win?
No, man. Don't do that to me, D-Mace. No.
Okay, so Washington State is a 19.5-point dog at home against Washington.
Okay.
Unfortunately, these two teams did not play in the same conference anymore. Washington State still not really in a league? Like, I still don't quite understand how that works.
I don't know what they're doing. They just roaming around college.
They're 2-1. Football. Washington is 2-0. That game is on CBS somehow.
So, Chris, you get to see it. You get to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He ain't going to watch it.
Chris, how was practice?
It actually was pretty good, man. We actually going to Knox Catholic. And I just want to further say this. Just because Derek went there or coached there, I do not like Ainsworth. I'm just letting you know that right now. I'm just letting you know.
We'll see y'all. Don't worry about it. We'll see y'all.
All right. So that game is being played in Pullman. Mm-hmm. So the Cougars, a big home dog. So Chris will hope to score big with that win. All right, let's get to Derek Mason with the second pick of the day.
All right, I like that. Man. Okay, I am going to the Big Ten.
Ooh, now wait a minute. I'm just wondering here.
No.
He's played in the Big Ten.
Uh-uh.
No? Okay.
I can't do that. Okay. I can't do that. Okay. You know I can't do that, Willie. I'm like you. I can't. Uh-uh.
You don't
no,
like
I just got to watch the game. I can't bet. No. I can't do a silly underdog on the game. I am going with Maryland and Wisconsin.
Maryland
over Wisconsin. It's a 10.5.
You thought Adam was angry before. Man.
He was mad.
Why? Yeah.
There you go.
Maryland is a 10-point dog on the road at Wisconsin. Maryland is 3-0. We just saw Wisconsin get absolutely destroyed at the hands of the Crimson Tide.
And their quarterback's hurt. Wisconsin's quarterback hurt.
I do have to ask the question. How is Wisconsin favored by 10?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
That's why I was going to pick it.
Because Maryland really hasn't played anyone. They haven't had a test. And they figured Wisconsin has with Alabama and on the hill. But Alabama only rushed for like 70-something yards. So
it is the 11 a.m. kickoff on NBC. So it is a key early game. So we'll see how the Terps do. All right, that brings us to Hal Gill. Let's see what he's got up his sleeve with his committee live from downtown Nashville.
Committee? What in the world is that? That sounds like somebody underwater. Beatboxing.
That's purple hat, boys. That's purple hat. That's
what in the world?
That's my jam. And I say that as I had to leave the bar as I'm my committee is sitting at the bar, and so they kind of left me. I'm outside. I'm on my own. But I will say, I'm looking at two teams that haven't played anyone, and I'm looking at the rankings. I don't understand it. The Fighting Illini are going to take down Indiana, I'm assuming, right? They're not ranked as high, but they're like Indiana's a favor. How has that happened? I don't understand that, and I can't imagine. D-Mace, you could tell me. Indiana's not a hostile environment, is that like Indiana? The Hoosier fans can't be. There's going to be a lot of clapping, I'm assuming, and they can probably get through that. So I'm going to take the Illini.
I wonder why they are.
All right, let's ask the Big Ten guys.
Favorite.
Did you ever play at Indiana?
Yeah, it wasn't like a loud place to play in. It really wasn't.
I didn't play in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you did.
No, I was going to ask. So, Chris, did you ever play at Indiana?
Yeah.
Do you remember pageantry, the atmosphere?
The pageantry? What?
There was no pageantry. No pageantry?
What?
No.
That's Indiana? A big word. I got to ask Chat GPS, whatever it is. What pageantry? I don't know what that means. What?
I can tell you that Assembly Hall for basketball, I did play at Indiana.
That's a place.
But the basketball court, the arena is different from the football field.
It's awesome.
It is different. Yeah.
So Hal Gill selects the Fighting Illini of Illinois, a 5.5-point dog on the road at Indiana. Illinois is 9th in the rankings. Indiana, 19th. This is an NBC game at 6:30 in Bloomington. That brings us to our final pick. For week number 4, it's Adam Vingan.
All righty. Well, Derek Mason took one of my picks. Hal Gill took the other. But this is why I come prepared. I seriously considered taking the Tulane Green Wave over Ole Miss, but I'm not going to do that. This pick is dedicated to my friend David Janes. I am taking the Memphis Tigers, a 7.5 home dog against Arkansas.
Go Tigers, go, baby.
Give me the Tigers to upset the Razorbacks at Memphis on Saturday.
Very interesting.
I'm surprised no one picked the Colorado and Wyoming game. No. That was one of mine. I'm like, Colorado hadn't looked too good this year. And they're 13, well, basically a 14-point favorite against Wyoming. That could be an upset.
We'll have to ask Hal Gill. He has a member of his committee, Kara Hammer, who's a Wyoming grad. Yeah. I wonder if that was brought to the table. Arkansas, meanwhile, is a 7.5-point dog on the road. I'm sorry, Memphis is a 7.5-point dog playing at home in the Liberty Bowl against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Very interesting pick right there.
Is Sellers back? Will he be back for this game?
I haven't seen any update on his status.
Because they are a 10-point dog versus Missouri. And I would tend to believe it's because he may not play.
Or yeah, from what I've heard, I don't think he's not, will be. Yeah.
Okay. Well, people, the picks are in. So let's do a quick review before we move forward and get the people's pick. These are the picks for Week 4, Silly Underdog Selections 2025, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Chris Sanders, right now in the cellar, barely making post in time, sprinting from the practice field to get to a phone to make the call. Yes, Chris.
Thanks, Willie.
You got it, buddy. He takes the Cougars of Washington State, a 19.5-point home dog against the in-state rival Washington Huskies.
Let's go, Cougars.
As usual, Chris Sanders swinging for the fences. He is going deep, as he always does.
Go long Derek or go Mason, home.
He hit a bomb last week for 15.5. He's coming back this week with Maryland. The Terrapins, a 10-point dog at Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium, an 11 a.m. kickoff up in Wisco. Hal Gill from downtown Nashville selects number 9, Illinois, a 5.5-point dog at 3-0 in the season in a Big Ten matchup at 3-0 Indiana. Very interesting swing game for both teams. And finally, Adam Vingan. He had to cross off a couple picks on his list, and he goes down the road to Memphis. The Tigers, a 7.5-point home dog in the Liberty Bowl against SEC foe Arkansas just across the Mississippi River.
Memphis.
These are the picks for week number 4. The people's pick will be on the other side of the break. So if you want to make a pick for the people, you can win tickets if you dial right now at 615-737-1025. In the meantime, those are our picks. They're in the books. Gentlemen, good luck.
Hey, fellas, I love each and every one of y'all, but I hope y'all team get drugged through the mud, and I hope y'all lose.
Especially Chris.
Chris, you are very lucky. I was going to pick Oregon State against Oregon. Which is, you're very lucky.
Now go and lose your game, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Love you guys.
See you later, Chris. All right, you heard Willie. The first caller at 615-737-1025 will represent the people. And if you pick correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, October 1st. Call us now, 615-737-1025. The People's Pick is next. We'll wrap up the show as well. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick has departed. He has to go meet up with Hal Gill and Lindsey Rowley and Chris Mason and Kara Hammer and the rest of the FanDuel Sports Network crew ahead of the Predators season. They've got a dinner downtown, hence why Hal Gill was downtown during Silly Underdog Picks. So we bid adieu to Willie Donick for the remainder of the show. But let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Brendan, who will represent the people this week in Silly Underdog Picks. Brendan, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
Gentlemen, I am going the Michigan State Spartans over you. Go green.
Go white.
Go green.
All right. Thank you, Brendan.
I couldn't pick them.
Derek Mason couldn't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it because I got to be able to just watch the game.
But Brendan is at least according to ESPN Bet, I'll check with CBS because that's what Willie uses. But on ESPN Bet, yes.
It's
I have 17 and a half.
18 and a half.
Oh, okay.
18 and a
so
half.
So on CBS Sports, Michigan State is an 18 and a half point underdog at USC at LA Memorial Coliseum. So good luck to you, Brendan. If you win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, October 1st.
Let's
and
go, Brendan. Let's go.
I do find the tactics of the people interesting.
Why is that?
Because Brendan could score a big win for the people. An 18.5 point spread, you said.
Exactly.
Michigan State yes. over USC. But he is adding to the degree of difficulty for winning the tickets. He could choose yes. a really small underdog and give himself a better opportunity of winning the tickets.
Hey, but he's a Spartan fan. I feel you.
All right.
I feel you. If it wasn't silly
blind
underdogs,
loyalty, that's
no
what
doubt.
I say.
Green and white all night, all day.
Blind.
You got blind. You the same with Duke. So, hey, there you go.
But I'm like you. I don't know if, oh, I might pick Duke in the silly underdog competition.
Ooh, that'd be tough.
That would be tough. That would be tough.
Because now you're watching the game not only because of the underdog pick, but you want your team to win. So it's going to be double trouble, man.
Extra emotions
exactly.
come out. Just like,
that's why I don't do it, man. Don't
no,
do
no,
it.
Same.
Don't do it.
That's, well, I'm, well, David, your Tigers, I will be rooting them on this weekend against Arkansas. So you do have added
go,
incentive.
Go, Tigers, go, baby. I do. I do now. I'm going to be making sure to watch
yes.
it now.
Yes. Precisely.
Cheering you on, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you, friend. A lot of reaction to our topic mm-hmm. earlier today. Blake Bedingfield of PaulKuharsky.com wrote in his review of the game against the Rams that if it were up to him, he did not write this specifically. I am putting words on his keyboard or in his mouth. That he would go full-on fire sale. He would look to trade Jeffrey Simmons, Calvin Ridley, L'Jarius Sneed, Arden Key, Tyler Lockett, Draymond Jones, basically any veteran player who's healthy and has value right now, he would look to trade. And I thought the mix of reaction on our text line was interesting because we did have a healthy mix of people who said, if you trade all of these players and you tear it down, you are putting Cam Ward in a terrible situation. You are not giving him any veterans to lean on. You are deconstructing the infrastructure of the team, which is important to the development of a young quarterback. Conversely, we had texters that said, burn it down! And that's where we are already. And look, here's the thing. I know that the Titans are 0-2 this season, but they were 3-14 last season. So the Titans have been doing a lot of losing over the past few years. And it does not appear that there is a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. Cam Ward really is the only person who provides a glimmer of hope for this organization right now. So I appreciate all of your participation. But if I had to do like an informal poll of pro Blake Bedingfield's position, anti Blake Bedingfield's position, I would say it leaned more toward pro. But it was close. I would say like 60-40 based on what I saw in the text line.
They like, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let it burn. That's what the people are saying. Like, listen, this is a bad roster. Let it burn. Let's get some picks. Let's get some high picks. Let's set this, you know, team up. Let's set this quarterback up with some real players. So I understand the sentiment. I just think right now, even though Blake Bedingfield has sort of, you know, set the table in a sense of what this team could be possibly undertaking, you know, when right around trade deadline, whether it be, you know, trading one player or making several trades, trying to, you know, get some draft capital. So it's coming more than likely. Depend, you know, considering what we've seen the last 2 weeks, more than likely it's going to be headed that way unless some change. It changed very quickly, and it starts this week here as they host the Indianapolis Colts, the 2-0 Indianapolis Colts. But I just think it's one of those things where, okay, Blake set the table. Now let's just watch it play out for another 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then we can kind of see where this team is at.
We will continue the conversation about the Tennessee Titans, who are preparing for the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Tomorrow, Mitch Light will join us as well to preview week 4 of college football in the first hour. We hope you have a wonderful evening. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Wednesday. I love you. We love you. Peace.